Tuesday. She'll do it next Sunday.
A little louder.
She says that she'll do it next Sunday.
She'll ask next Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably, it's okay, yeah. I think it's not checked. You go ahead.
How we should to live in Vrindavan?
Excuse me?
I remember before, one devotee says that Vrindavan, it's called, one of the name of Vrindavan is Fakiravan.
Fakiravan.
Van, yeah, yeah, because...
Not Van, it's called Fakirabad.
Ah, Fakirabad. Fakirabad, huh.
It's a Mughal, the king of this region, the Mughal, the Muslim king, his name was Akbar. And he had many wives, because kings had many wives in those days, 400 years ago, in India. Hindu kings and Muslim kings had many wives, and a lot of power and money, I guess, too. So he had one Hindu wife. And he had a big palace, many palaces, maybe, but he had one palace in Agra. It's called Fatehpuri or something like that. I've never seen, but it's a famous tourist place, right? Called Red Fort in Delhi. It's the same red stone like Govindaji Temple. He donated that stone for Govindaji Temple, by the way. So he was a very religious-minded and philosophical person, although he was a conqueror and a king and all that. But he conquered and fought Hindu kings and also killed them. But he was religious. And he had a soft heart, so even his palace in Agra, there's a temple there for Radha Krishna, because his wife was a devotee, and he led her to her puja, and she continued to be a vegetarian. And very interesting story of that Hindu queen of Akbar. So he had a relationship. He met Jiva Goswami and Swami Haridas and Tanzan and all these kind of great sadhus and saints. So he made some royal decrees, and he said that this land of, because fakir is a Persian word.
What?
F-A-K-I-R is fakir. A Persian word. P-E-R-S-I-A. Persia was one of those countries over there, Iran and Persia, you know, Middle East, old ancient country, thousand years ago, it's called Persia. Mm-hmm. It's like there's Urdu and Persian, there's different kind of languages. Like there's Gujarati, and there's Punjabi, and there's Bengali. They're all in India, primarily. Mm-hmm. But so over there, there's Urdu and Persian, and many, many things like this. So Rupa Goswami, they learned Persian, and they spoke Urdu and Persian, and Sanskrit, and Bengali, and Hindi, all these things. So he called this place Bad. Bad is what they call, means Puri, like we say Puri. Puri means city, place, or village means area. Bad, Ghaziabad, Faridabad, Fakirabad. Fakir means Vairagi. Yeah. This is a place where all austere people live. There's mostly forests everywhere. Now you see everywhere Bajmandal fields, you know, fields like flat. And they're growing chickpeas and wheat, potatoes. And 70 years ago, 80 years ago, 200 years ago, there was no flat. It was all little hillocks. Barsana's a hillock. Nandagram's a hillock. Yavat's a hillock. You know, Basanti Gram is a hillock. Radhakund has a little hill. Tila up here. Tila means hill. Uh-huh. Radhakund Tila. Uh-huh. Everywhere there's hills. And so it was all mountains. Big, small hills and mountains and valleys and forests and rivers and lakes and waterfalls. That's it. There wasn't all the agricultural type of crops and things. They came from Madhya Pradesh by wagons and whatnot and trading. Here they just had all, the wealth of Brajmandal was cows. Mathura is the ancient capital of Brajmandal. Mathura comes from it's a sandhi, it's a combination of two words. Mat means to churn. Manmata, sakshat, manmata. Manmata, man means mind, and mat means to churn. Mata, M-A-T-H. So that it's in the Gopi Gita, in the 10th canto, the Gopis, they tell Krishna, they say, you are Sakshat, Sakshat Manmata Manmata. Manmata is a Sanskrit word to describe Cupid, Kandarpa, the god of lust, or love, or whatever you want to call it. But he churns the churning means like this. When you churn butter, there's a thing, churning rod, it goes, when you pull it this way, it turns like this, and you pull it right, left, it goes, and it churns, it mixes, like a mixer, it mixes the, now you put it in a mixer and make butter that way, or milk, you know, milk in a blending. It's a modern butter churn. So there was, because there was so much sound of that mutt in this Braj Mandal, that the capital is called Mathura. Because thousands and thousands of huge these huge clay pots, and they show you, go to Nandagram, and they show you, this is Mother Yashoda's milk pot, and it's sitting in the ground, and people get inside it, and it's inside one, there's one small house on the side of the mountain, there's an ancient Sringadev temple there, then there's Mother Yashoda's yogurt pot. It's a fan when you go on Yatrat and Nandagram, they always take you there. And under, it's underground because it was keep it cool or whatever, I don't know, but that's the story. It's a big, big yogurt pot, big clay pot. So they were huge. Even the neighbors, my parosi, my friends, they have these buffalo and sometimes cow, but mostly buffalo. And they would, I'd go over there and I'd see them with the clay pot and they're churning. And I said, let me try. You know, so they have the big stick there and it's tied with ropes around it. So I was, you know, churning the, just to get some samskara. Like a gopi, you know. So I was churning this milk with a rope tied around the churning rod, and there's two little wooden handles, and you hold. There's a rod like that, and there's a rope that goes around it. And then as you pull it, then the rod is connected to the ropes go around the stick, and then it goes like, so. You know, it's the original General Electric blender mixy, you know, the power, human power. Ox power. So it's, and I said, that's it, you know, and it's not easy actually. It's kind of, because there's milk, there's a big paddle inside, a big four sided thing, you know, like on a stick with four sides. And, you know, it's the blade propeller, whatever you want to call it, agitator. And that's, when you're moving in the milk, it has some resistance. You can feel, it's not like water, it's like, it's a little hard. So I was saying, this lady, Bridge Boss, like this, step aside. And then I said, you must be strong to do this every day, morning and noon, and evening time, you know, whenever they churn. And she showed me the rod, and she said, oh, no, this is nothing, you know, I'm weak. My grandmother, this is only 10 liter mudka, 10 liter clay pot. My grandmother had, you know, 40 liters. And this churning rod is like a baby churning rod. Her churning rod was like, you know, each piece was like 2 feet long by 2 feet. So my grandmother, she would say, my grandmother, and then my mother. So it's become smaller, smaller, smaller. And now this lady's daughter, she has a mixie. You put in it, you plug it in. He's a blender. Gopi blender, Gopi butter churner, electric blender. So this is Mathura. What's your question? I don't know, I lost it.
Yes, that's a question.
that was a fun talk. I don't know what the question was.
It's a spot of question.
Okay.
No,
it's not.
No one.
You're not paying to come here, and I'm not getting paid to speak.
So people live.
It's free form.
Devotee lives in Vrindavan, and before it was Fakirabad, yeah, it's Vairagya.
Now it's Vishaya. Vishayibad. Fakir means Vairagi. Vairagi means detached. You know,
yeah.
No AC. No mixie, no blender, no cell phone, no, what do you call it, that flat TV, what's it called, flat TV, something, cell TV or something? Flat screen?
Flat screen.
There's no flat screen TV, and
no.
they were fakir, they were vairagis, they just had Kopan and Kanta.
But I know so many devotees want to live in Vrindavan, because it's Mathura Vas, it's one of the devotional service. And sometimes all we need some money. And some devotees...
Babaji's have money too, they have bank accounts.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Yeah, and...
money is necessary.
Some... is it clear that devotees make business in Vrindavan? You know, because you need some room, some food. Or we need to take some bhiksha, like Goswami Vrindavan, just going to bhiksha. Or,
somehow,
or we can...
The way, I mean, if you follow the... I don't know exactly something about it. Is there questions about doing business in Vrindavan? Staying here?
It's safe to stay in Vrindavan.
Well, you know, just like this, Prabhupada used to quote this person, Charvak Muni. Charvak Muni was some type of Muni, kind of, I don't know what kind of Muni, but his title is Muni. And Prabhupada used to say his philosophy, he had a philosophy. Muni means thinker, Muni. So his philosophy was beg, borrow, or steal, eat food cooked in ghee. So I don't know what kind of Muni that is. It doesn't sound very like a yogi type of philosophy, beg, borrow. But Prabhupada would quote it oftentimes. Just like the modern philosophy now is like Charvak Muni. Beg, borrow, or steal, eat food cooked in ghee. So now, our Prabhupada Ananda Saraswati was written, he lived and did bhajan in Vrindavan in Kaliyadaha on the banks of Yamuna that was used to be the Yamuna. And he writes in his Vrindavan Mahim Amritam extremely fanatical verses about attachment to Vrindavan, Vrindavan Vas, Mathura Vasastali. And he said, basically he's saying the same thing. Whatever it takes, beg, borrow, or steal, but live in Vrindavan. Beg, borrow, or steal. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, become a dacoit. There's enough already. There's enough already. We don't need more. Maybe they're following that philosophy. I don't know. But we should earn an honest living. As far as, because, like my Guru Dev said the other day, he said, when I asked him some question, he said, we have to follow the Shastra. What do the Shastra say? Because he's a pundit. And because I asked him a question which doesn't have a Shastric answer. It's called Bhav Vichara. And I heard answers before. I said, Gurudev, we see in the six Goswami temples of Vrindavan and also here in Radhakund and maybe all the Vrindavan traditional temples, I'm not sure, but I know for sure that the six Goswami temples and their expansions here in Radhakund, the Radhagovindaji temple here and there, Madan Mohan, Gopinath Damodar, etc., Radhashamsundar, Shamananda's Radhashamsundar, and Radharaman, they never blow the conch shell, Shankh Dwani, before Artik or after Artik. Have you noticed? I mean, you're here a long time.
You were speaking about that before.
Yes. So, and I told, you know, the answer that I had heard. You know, about Akura and all that. So I just never asked this question. So he's here in this Prakat, you know, manifest form. So it was nice to ask. I have an answer that I've heard and I'm satisfied with. But I would also, you know, Guru Mukha Padmavakya. What does my guru say? So I asked him. I said, Guru Dev, you know, why is this? Now remember, he's living in Vrindavan doing bhajan for 76 years. Since he's 20 years old, he came here. And in many years in Vrindavan, maybe 15, 20 years in Vrindavan, or maybe longer, teaching Sanskrit and Bon Maharaj's college across the street from ISKCON, and then he's been all over Braj living in Barsana and underground. And I asked, so he knows. Certainly more than I do about Braj culture, knowing since he knows Braj Bhasha and Sanskrit and Bengali and Hindi and English. So I said, Gurudev, why they don't blow the conch shell? Although it's a niyam, it's a puja niyam in the Shastra Vidhi for Archan Marg. Archan Marg, when you begin Artik, Shankh Dwani, the sound of the shank. Wah, wah, wah. And at the end of Artik, wah, wah, wah. That's the rule. That's called Vidhi, rule. Puja. And if you don't follow the rule, it's not parad. If you wear dirty clothes and do puja, it's aparad. If you
pass air in front of the deities is aparad. There's many, many aparads in seva, Thakurji's seva. And that's faulty. That's offensive bhakti and offensive to the holy name also. What to speak of to Krishna? So I said, why they don't do? And then he said, I don't know. He said, I don't know. I don't see in Shastra. And I said, well, what I've heard is this. And I told him, because we have like a friendship since 20 years. So he said, yeah, that's nice. He said, I've also heard from sadhus. It's not Shastra, but I've heard from sadhus. Because, you know, yeah, it's called the Mahant Parampara. Mahant, or the Mahatma. It's called Mahantvani. The words of the Mahats. Just like Prabhupada spoke many, many things that aren't recorded. They're not on any room conversation. They're not on any morning walks. But he spoke many things that in a car, somewhere there was no tape recorder. And that's his vani. That's Prabhupada's vani, his words and his instructions to his disciples. And those words may be very important for those devotees that heard them, although no one else maybe will ever hear them. So that's the prabhav, or the effect or power and value of the guru vani or mahatvani. So then my guru said that what I've heard from the Mahatmas of Braj is that Radharani is a young girl. It's a very nice answer. Radharani is a young girl. She doesn't like loud sounds. They hurt the baby. You know, when a baby is sleeping and some gun goes off, boom, or some fire, it's Diwali time. The baby's sleeping, then boom, firecracker goes off. The baby starts crying instantly because it's startling. It's a startling sound, and he becomes disturbed. So he said Radharani becomes disturbed and doesn't like it. So they don't blow the conch shell, so they don't disturb Radharani. It's service to Radharani, because the line in Braj, in Vrindavan, unlike any other holy dham, the line of service is drawn to Radharani. Why they don't blow the conch shell? Because Radharani doesn't like it. Anukulya. Everything they do is Radharani Anukulya. Except everything that's favorable for the pleasure of Radharani. Radha Anukulya. That sounds good. Yeah. Can't argue that.
I always have a hard time blowing a conscious life.
Yeah, you have to get exactly the right spot. And you just, you know, another guy will do it every time because he knows that spot, but you just knew when you pick it up, it's like, you know, you're this huge, strong, big guy, and you look at some little skinny guy, you feel like, what is this, you know? It's like, your ego gets a little pinched. What to speak of, you're like big sannyasi or something like that. Everybody, all eyes are on you, you know.
We have
a
pleasure from the spiritual master doing an argument.
Yeah, more to that. Because you're asking about, you know, some devotees, they want to live in Vrindavan, they do business. I mean, I sometimes they do business, it's not even legal also. There's many devotees living in Vrindavan that I'm aware of that because they really want to live in Vrindavan, but so much they want to live in Vrindavan, they are literally taking that idea and they're doing illegal things to make money in Vrindavan, what I won't mention. Even ladies are also engaged in occupations that are unmentionable to live in Vrindavan. And this is not, I heard this 20 years ago. So it's a little strange, but you know, this is a big city now, so lots of things go on. So as far as some shastra, because I mentioned the point of what's the shastra say about doing business. Obviously, if you're born here and raised here and you're Indian, then it's not an offense. But in Braj Bhakti Vilas, Braj Bhakti Vilas is compiled by Narayan Bhatta Goswami. Narayan Bhatta Goswami, at one time, I believe he took initiation from Srinivas Acharya, who is a disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, something like that. But then later, maybe he kind of leaned towards Nimbarki's. I forget just now. I just wrote his biography on my Facebook some time ago, because I forgot. But somehow he's like Gaudiya, has roots in the Gaudiya, just like Gopal Bhatta, yeah. Gopal Bhatta, and Raghunath Bhatta. So Bhatta means Brahmin. So, but anyway, he's the one that founded the deities of Larali Lal. He's a great devotee of Radha and Krishna, and he started the Ras Mandala, the Ras Lila troops, and he built all these Ras Mandalas in different places to revive the culture of Brahmins dressing up as gopis and gopas and doing their Krishna's Lilas and pastimes, Ras Lila troops. So he's a great devotee. So he has, from Puranas or somewhere, it's not clear to me, I haven't read the original book, but he's compiled a list of Dhammaparad, 10 aparads in holy Dham. And they're not mentioned anywhere in the Goswami books. They're not mentioned in Narahari Chakravarti's Bhakti Ratnakara. And there's one chapter 5 there, it's called Mathura Mandala. Mathura Mandala is chapter 5. It's been made into a separate book, you know. Mathura Mandala Parikrama. That's chapter 5 of Bhakti Ratnakara. You know, it's in English. Narahari Chakravarti's talk. So, and it's not written in Vishnu Chakravarti's writings, Narottam Das Thakur, Six Goswamis. Zero. Nowhere about Dhammaparad. Of course, the Dhamma is full of Vaishnavas and full of deities. And there's lots of things written about offending Vaishnavas and offending deities. You know, 32 aparads, save aparads and deity worship. And then there's, you know, the six kinds of offenses against Vaishnavas. Not be happy when you see one. These are written in the Sandarbhas and other places. Six classes of Vaishnava aparad. Not be happy when you see one. To physically hurt one, speak bad about one, think bad about one, all like this. So because when we talk about the Dhammaparads, and they say, oh, you know, there's 10 aparads in holy Dham, I wouldn't, as Gaudiya as we shouldn't preach that too much, because that's, everyone talks about that, oh, the Dhammaparads, they often talk about the Dhammaparads. Maybe Bhaktivinoda Thakura mentioned somewhere, I don't remember, in his writings, but it's not. If you ask the Goswamis from the temples, do you know about the Dhammaparads? Huh? What? I never heard. Where is that Shastra? You know, Radha Raman Temple, Radha Govindaji, Radha Madan Man, Bunki Bihari, you ask, or Nandagram Varsana, Pandas here. This concept of Dhammaparad is a kind of a special tattva in ISKCON. Chintamani, yeah. Because he took it from there, because he read Hindi.
Yes.
He read Hindi, and it's in the Hindi edition.
Oh, so you read
it. I'm saying that. It's in Braj Bhakti Vilas. And he read Hindi, and he has many quotes here from Garga Samhita also, because he read that also, in Adi Puran. I know Padmalochan personally, and now he's no more, but... So, no, it's a good thing, but one of those, but why, this is the answer to your question, as far as you want to find some Shastra, it's in that book, which is a compilation, like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has Rupa Goswami's name on it, it's his book, but it's actually a lot of his own shlokas, many of his own shlokas and verses, but many are taken from different Puranas, which are not mentioned in Nectar of, Nectar of Devotion, but when you get the unabridged edition, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Banamaraj, and it tells you this is from Adi Puran, this is from Skanda Puran, all Bhavishyotara Puran, all the different Puranas where the shlokas of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are mentioned. So Braj Bhakti Vilas is a compendium like that of all what charity to give when you go to Barsana, what charity to give when you give to come to Nandagram, and all the whole Braj Mandal Parikrama guide. What day, what month to start your parikrama, what days to visit, what forest, what are the prayers to reach forest, that all comes from this book, which comes from, you know, he's a great pandit and great Brahmin, Narayan Bhatta, he's a great devotee. He collected, like Jiva Goswami or whatever, he collected from all these shastras and put in one book. So there, somewhere he got, I don't know the origin, the source, it's in his book, but where he got it from, I can't say. No, I've never heard anyone tell me either, or read it. Because if you don't accept his book as authorized, that's okay. But the Purana that he's quoting, we should accept that. Shruti Smriti Puranadi. If it's in the Shrutis and Smritis and Puranas, then we accept it and follow it with our understanding received from Guru and Parampara. So there it says, it's an offense to do business in a holy dham. So your question was, many devotees want to stay here, but they do business, is that an offense? And the answer is yes, it's an offense to do business in a holy dham. What's my praman for that? Narayan Bhatta Goswami's list of 10 aparads. The business here is bhakti. I think the best thing to live here is to... But then there's artists, they live here. There's artists living here. And they're inspired by living in Vrindavan, visiting holy places, to make paintings of Radha and Krishna. And then they sell them for 1 lakh and 2 lakhs. Some of the Russian artists, two lakhs, 3 lakhs for one painting. They're making not only money, but big time money. And money brings with it problems also. Too little money is a problem, and too much money is a problem. That's why Krishna says in the Gita, don't collect too much, don't collect too little. Atyahara priyaschas niyamagraha, whatever it is, niyamagraha. It's in Bhakti Upadeshamrita. Rupa Goswami says, Atyahara priyaschas cha. He says one should not collect too much. The basic idea is just simple living and high thinking. Somehow get a little bit of money to get by, maintenance and possible, you know, extra for medical expenses or emergencies, and live your life simply and spend a balance of your time. If you get into making money, then you may stop. You may just make money and not do bhajan. Everything. The purpose of living in Vrindavan is to increase our bhajan and to take advantage of the energy and the vibration for meditation on lila and sadhu sangha. We come here to make a business of bhakti. Prabhupada quoted some Bengali phrase. He said, in two places, you should be very enthusiastic. He said, there's a Bengali phrase that says, in two spheres of activity, one should be very enthusiastic. Making money and eating. Making money, when you eat, you should eat enthusiastically. Because that's good for, you know, your rasas and rasana and all the, what do you call it, saliva and everything, and digestive juices will secrete more, and you'll get good appetite, and you'll be able to eat nicely. And if you're making money, then go full down into it and make a whole lot of money. So Prabhupada said similarly, as this Bengali phrase said, if enthusiasm is, there should be enthusiastic about eating and making money. So Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada said similarly, Rupa Goswami has told us we should be enthusiastic about doing bhakti bhajan. And if we have the fortune to live in Vrindavan, we should be more enthusiastic. Oh, I'm living in Vrindavan. I get to chant my rounds in Vrindavan. I get to meditate on Krishna Vrindavan. I get to see Krishna Vrindavan. I get to pray to Krishna Vrindavan. Because there's 100 times promotion, or 100 or 1,000. That's written in Shastra. I have the quote in my notes. But one thing you won't find, nowhere in any Shastra of the Goswamis will you find it, 100 times the punishment. I think Srila Prabhupada may mention that in some purport or some lecture, that, you know, you get 100 times promotion. I think it's 100 or 1,000?
1,000.
But then be careful, because you get 1,000 times reaction. Prabhupada says that. That's his realization or his idea. But that state, there's no shastric backing for that. It's you can say it's Acharya Vani, it's Guru Vani of the teachings of Srila Prabhupada for his students or for the world, whatever. But because people have asked me, and I've asked my pundits and teachers, they said that statement is nowhere in Shastra. Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipano Sadharma Sanstapako Lokana Mitakarano Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro Vande Rupa Sanatano Rugu Yugo Srijiva Gopalako. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami has told us Rupa Raghunatha Pati Hoibe Yakuti. we should be very enthusiastic and eager to follow Rupa and Raghunath, which means the Sad Goswamis, their Siddhanta, Tattva Siddhanta. So it's nice because ultimately, when Srila Prabhupada is saying you get 1,000 times reaction, we can't find any statement like that in the Shastras. But the point is that you can say that yes, Prabhupada is also correct, because in Vrindavan, when you make offense, if you live in Vrindavan and make offense, Prabhupada said you get 1,000 times reaction. Why? Because in Vrindavan, everywhere and every direction, everybody's a devotee. So you're making an offense in Vrindavan means you're making an offense to a Brijbasi, Westerner, whatever. A devotee is living here doing bhajans. You're making Vaishnava Aparad, which is the greatest of all offenses. Any other kind of offense you can nullify by chanting Hare Krishna. A Vaishnava Aparad you can't nullify. So you may live in Vrindavan, do 1,000 kinds of offenses, and then chant like anything and get free from those offenses. But if you offend a Vaishnava in Vrindavan, you may never get free from the offense after many births. So in that sense, Prabhupada is right. In other words, he's warning everyone, don't take it lightly. Oh, you get 1,000 times the benefit. I read in the Shastras, you get 1,000 times the benefit for your chanting. Or it says even if you're sleeping, it's equal to dandabhats. And if you're just walking to the store to buy some limca, because you have, buy some 7-Up because of indigestion from the sun, from the big feast, the Janmashtami, whatever. I'm going to buy 7-Up. Just walking to the store, that's prikama. And you're talking to your friend in MVT about the latest gossip, and this guy said this and this and that. That gossip, that's equal to Harikata. That's in Skanda Puran. And the glorification of Puri. It's called the Purushottam Mahatmyam. So what's true to one is true to all. So that's true for Navadvip or for Navadvip Mandal or Puri or Brajadam also. Because it's called Dham Tattva. Dham is Dham. These are the holy dhams of the Lord. Sakshat Bhagavan, Purnatam Bhagavan, Rajendranandan Krishna had Leela in Navadvip, Radha Krishna Yuga. Navadvip and Puri and Vrindavan. So these dhams are all equal. But their preferred place to live and do bhajan is Mathura Mandala. This is the example the six Goswamis set themselves. They all lived here. And this is the example they wrote about. When they talk about Panchanga Bhakti, they say Mathura Vas, not Navadvip Vas or Puri Vas. Interesting point.